Another cup of Maxwell House coffee, George?
Sure. Pour me a cup, Gracie.
You know, Maxwell House is always good to the last drop.
And that drop's good, too.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. With yours truly, Toby Reed, Meredith Wilson, Sarah Berger, Gail Gordon, Frank Nelson, Will Wright, the Maxwell House Orchestra, and Bill Goodwin.
For America's Thursday night comedy enjoyment, it's George and Gracie. And for America's everyday coffee drinking enjoyment, it's Maxwell House. Today, more Americans buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other coffee at any price. Yes, Maxwell House, always good to the last drop.
As we look into the Burns home today, we find George and Gracie discussing a topic that is much too familiar to all of us, the high cost of living.
Oh, you'll be proud of me, George. I'm fighting the high cost of living tooth and nail.
Well, that's swell. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm smart. Before I buy anything, I ask the price. And if it's too high, I just refuse to pay the money.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, for a month now, I've charged everything.
But that's no advantage. The bills have to be paid.
Yes, but it still won't cost you any money.
Why not?
I pay them with a check.
This is murder.
Oh, I got the idea right out of my own mind. Simple, isn't it?
Simplest one on record. Let me see the bills.
Oh, they're right here in my filing cabinet.
Oh, no, Gracie, not that filing system again. For 5 years now, I've tried to find things in that Chinese puzzle.
But, George, it's so easy. Everything is filed alphabetically. Now, which bill do you want first?
The grocery bill.
All right, look under T.
The grocery bill is under T.
Well, sure. We buy our groceries at Beasley's Market. His market is 2 blocks down the street. T for 2.
What if the market was 4 blocks down the street?
I'd file it in the same place. T for 2.
Okay. Well, here's the grocery bill. Holy smoke. Don't tell me eggs are this high.
Oh, they're like diamonds, George. Before long, hens won't lay them on the ground anymore. They'll go right to the bank and make their deposit.
How about the meat bill? Where do I find that?
Under C.
Meat bill is under C?
Yes. We buy our meat from the butcher. His name is Fleischenheimer. C for can't sell it.
Okay, here it is. Oh, no. Couldn't you find any cheap meat?
Well, I've tried, dear. See there on the bill. Ribs, 80 cents a pound. Shanks, 70 cents a pound. Oxtails, 60 cents a pound.
Is that the best you could do?
George, when you pass the tail, you're out in empty space.
Gracie, you're just using the high cost of living for an excuse. Things can't be this high.
But they are, dear.
I don't believe it. This morning, I'll do the shopping. And if they charge these prices, I'll eat my hat. I'll make up the shopping list. What are we having for dinner?
Boiled hat.
Let's go to the market.
Hey, here's your hamburger, Mrs. Fowler. That'll be $7.80. Would you like that delivered?
No, thanks. I'll just put it in my purse.
All again. Can I wait on you, sir?
Yes, I'd like 3 pounds of sirloin steak.
3 pounds of sirloin steak?
Yes.
Tell me, are you a veteran?
No, why?
Well, I thought you could finance it on a GI loan.
Now, look here.
How about a nice soup bone of steer beef? You can swing that on our 30-day credit planner.
Now, don't buy that, George. He's been selling me meat from that same steer for 2 years now. I even know the steer's name. Charles.
Charles?
Yes. Every time I ask for a roast, he says, I'll give you a piece of chuck.
Well, he's not giving me a piece of anything. We'll do without me. Come on.
Do
You see, Gracie, the only way to bring prices down is to refuse to pay what they ask for things. Now, watch me. Mr. Beasley?
Oh, yes, Mr. Burns.
How much is canned tuna?
70 cents a can.
I won't pay it.
That's right. We'll plant our own tuna.
Oh, I get a kick out of your wife, Mr. Burns. She's so mentally adolescent.
Oh, careful with those compliments. My husband's here.
Sit down with the shopping.
Yeah.
I'll take a pound of butter.
Yes, sir. That'll be $1.
$1? Don't you wear a mask instead of an apron? Come on, Gracie. Let's go to the vegetable department. Oh, cashier. How much is the sack of corn?
How many ears have you got?
Two. Does he look like a freak?
Well, now that you mention it...
Never mind. I have 4 ears of corn.
Well, that'll be 10 cents each.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute, George. You don't like corn without butter.
Yeah, that's right. Better go back and buy a pound. You wait here. I changed my mind. I'll take a pound of that butter.
Yes, sir. That'll be $1.10.
$1.10? A minute ago, it was a dollar.
Yes, there seems to be a gradual rise in prices.
I'll eat my corn without butter. Okay, miss. I'll take those 4 ears of corn.
Yes, sir. That'll be 15 cents each.
But you said they were 10 cents each.
Oh, that was before the last price change.
Oh, George, you better grab it before it goes up again.
Okay, here's your 60 cents.
George.
What?
You still don't like corn without butter.
I know. Well, come on, I'll buy a half a pound. Yeah, that's what I said, a half a pound of butter. How much is it now, $1.25?
No, 90 cents.
Well, you see, Gracie, I forced the price down.
That's 90 cents a half pound.
Well, charge it, Mr. Beasley. And would you please help me carry something out to the car?
The butter?
No, my husband, he just fainted.
In order to get his mind off the high cost of living, at least temporarily, Gracie coaxed George to the local movie to see a matinee of Life with Father. We find them now just leaving the theater.
Oh, wasn't that a wonderful picture, George? William Powell reminded me so much of my father.
Your father must be quite a man.
He is. Proud, genteel, dignified, aristocratic. And the best delivery man at the fertilizer factory.
Father's a big man.
Right on top of the heap.
Yeah?
So many things in life as father reminded me of my own family. The oldest boy going off to Yale and the youngest...
Don't tell me anyone in your family went to Yale.
My brother Willie. And was Harvard jealous.
Harvard wanted one?
Oh, yes, but Yale wouldn't let him go. They said Harvard would just have to go on studying the theory of evolution from pictures.
I don't want to hear any more about your family.
Ah, you're still worried about the high cost of living, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Ah, you poor darling. If I could only make some money to help you. George, I've got an idea.
What is it?
I'll write a play about my family. It'll cost you about $5,000 to put it on, and it'll make millions.
No, Gracie.
But family plays are all the rage now. I remember Mama, Life with Father, Mother wore tights.
Gracie, no.
Well, look, I can make mine a combination. I'll call it I Remember Mama's Life with Father in Tights.
No.
And I'll get William Powell to play Father. And you can be one of the sons.
Gracie, the idea is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You play the father and he'll be the son.
Forget the play. Every time you get one of those ideas, I get in trouble.
But I want to keep you from worrying about money. You're heading for a nervous breakdown, and I want to help you.
This will do it. Now, Gracie, I'm going to NBC, and remember, you're not going to do a play about your family.
Yes, dear.
Or any other play.
Yes, dear.
Absolutely no play.
No play.
No play.
Meredith, how do I go about putting on a play?
Well, first of all, you have to look around and find an angel.
In Hollywood?
Well, any place, just so he's wealthy. Now, Tommy Manville has been an angel several times.
Oh, he keeps slipping back, though, doesn't he?
Gracie, the term angel is applied to a man who finances a play.
Oh, well, how about you financing my play, Meredith?
Oh, I'd like to, but all my money's tied up.
It is?
Yes, I tied it up in my handkerchief, and I can't get the knot loose. But, I could offer my services as an actor.
Oh, have you had any stage experience?
I was always prominent in the Mason City, Iowa Festival of Corn. I once portrayed a bloodhound in Uncle Tom's Cabin. I bounded across the stage, sniffing with my nose to the ground. But apparently, the critic thought I had my nose in the air.
Oh, really?
Yes, he said I smelled to high heaven.
Well, Meredith, I think you're just right for my play.
I am?
Yeah, but first, I've got to find a backer. Don't you know any rich man?
Well, now, let me see. I read in the morning paper that Mr. Judson, the Texas oil millionaire, is in town. He's staying at the Plaza Hotel.
Oh, he sounds like just the man. I'm sure I can get $5,000 from him.
Why are you putting on a play?
Well, to help George meet expenses. Ooh. The high cost of living has got him so worried, and I'm afraid he'll have a nervous collapse.
Oh, you're a true blue helpmate, Gracie. George is a lucky man. I hope when Bill Goodwin and I get married, we'll do as well.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure you and Bill will be very happy together. So, goodbye, Meredith.
Goodbye.
Are you Mr. Judson, the Texas oil millionaire?
Yep, that's me, ma'am.
Well, howdy, partner. I sure am all fine glad to meet a fellow Okie.
Okies are from Oklahoma, ma'am. I'm from Texas.
Oh. Well, I'm sure all fine glad to meet a fellow Texie. I'm Mrs. George Burns.
Proud to know you. What part of Texas you hail from?
San Francisco.
San Francisco's in California.
Oh, gosh, ain't Texas took that in yet?
Yeah, I like your spirit, ma'am. You talk like a real Texan.
Mighty glad you fell for it. I mean, think.
Yeah, I might have known a friendly little prick like you would be from Texas. Now, that's a healthy straight. Now, look at me. Would you take me for 45?
Well, I hope to take you for 5,000.
Huh?
I mean, I'd like you to invest some money in a play I've written.
Oh, I'm afraid I don't know nothing about show business, ma'am. I never seen no plays, never seen no movies, never even listened to the radio. Just stayed home and made $22 million.
Oh, you poor man.
Yeah, been sinking wells ever since I was a boy. When I was only 15, I brought in my first wildcat well.
You were smart to switch to oil. There's not much demand for wildcats.
I like your sense of humor, man. But I better stay out of this show business.
Oh, please, Mr. Judson. I'm going to do this play to help my husband. The poor man is practically out of his mind.
Why, you fine, sweet, brave little girl. Why didn't you tell me?
What?
You're doing this to help your mentally unbalanced husband.
Well, he isn't.
Oh, I know how you feel. You see, my wife ain't too bright.
Now, see here, Mr. Judson, my husband
now,
is...
Now, you don't have to say no more, Mrs. Burns. I can sure find $5,000 for a woman whose husband is, shall we say, peculiar.
Let's say he's enough to make it $10,000.
That's a deal. I'll draw up a contract and then I'll telephone you.
Oh, thank you.
Not at all. By the way, where's your husband?
Well, he's at NBC.
NBC? Is that a mental institution?
Well, yes, that's what it is. NBC, the National Booby Coop. Some people call it the network. Well, thanks again, Mr. Judson. Goodbye.
Here's Meredith Wilson and the orchestra. Thank you.
Yeah. Just had a phone call, Gracie.
Oh?
A man wanted to speak to you.
Oh?
Said he was Mr. Judson, an oil millionaire.
Uh-oh.
Said you'd been to see him. What for?
Well, the car needed a quart of oil.
Gracie, he mentioned $10,000.
Yeah, that's why I didn't buy the quart of oil. I thought it was a little high.
Gracie, why did you go to see Mr. Judson?
Well, all right, George, I'll tell you.
Good. And don't give me another wild story. I want the truth.
Well, Mr. Judson thinks you're the world's greatest singer, and he'll give you $10,000 a week to advertise his oil company.
Gee, for a minute, I thought you were coming up with a wild story. From time to time in every climb, blessings come from above. Do you think my voice will sell gasoline?
Oh, yes, darling. Everyone who hears you sing will take gas.
Wait a minute. I've got a sponsor, Maxwell House Coffee.
Oh, well, they won't conflict. Mr. Judson will sponsor you as a singer, and Maxwell House will sponsor you as whatever you do on their program.
Well, I don't know. Come in. Hi, Burns.
Hello, Bill.
Bill, do you think the Maxwell House people would object if I did a singing program?
Oh, you bet they would.
Then I better turn down the oil show.
Was for another product? Well, go right ahead. For a minute, I thought you planned to sing for Maxwell House.
Bill,
it's the very best in coffee drinking pleasure, yet it costs but a fraction of a penny more per cup than the cheapest coffee you can buy. But your voice can force Maxwell House into the buttermilk business.
Well, Bill, apparently you haven't heard George sing lately. Give him a sample, Sugar Throat. Unleash those atomic tonsils and spray us with that radioactive voice.
Time is time and every time blessings come from above.
When you listen to that man, it's hard to believe he's human.
Ain't easy when you look at him, either.
I mean, he doesn't sound like a man. When he sings, it's more like you've just heard a big bird.
Sings again, you'll hear the biggest bird.
Never mind, critic. Just wait till I get my own program for Judson's Oil.
Yes. Now, George, you run, hop in the bathtub, and vocalize. I want to talk to Bill.
Okay.
To summer rain, out of the spring, out of the lucky
Oh, Bill, you almost ruined things.
How?
Well, Mr. Judson isn't going to sponsor George's singing.
He sounds like a sensible man.
Actually, he thinks George is a lunatic, and he thinks NBC is the national booby coop.
Like I said before, he sounds like a sensible man.
But don't tell George. He doesn't know what I'm up to.
Say, Gracie, I'm single, but I thought wives never did anything without their husband's permission.
Yeah, you are single, aren't you? come on, Bill. Drop me at the beauty shop.
Okay.
Yes? Howdy. I'm Mr. Judson. I've come to have Mrs. Burns sign this contract.
Oh, well, I'm the one you want to see. I'm Mr. Burns.
You're her husband?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll be moseying along.
No. I want to talk to you. Sit down.
Sure. Anything you say. I thought they kept you at NBC.
Yeah, well, they do most of the time. But now and then I sneak away.
Ain't it a hard place to get in and out of?
No. I can get you in if you want me to.
No, I ain't ready for that yet. Don't NBC have any guards?
Yeah. But in Hollywood, it's hard to tell who belongs in there and who doesn't.
Yeah, reckon it is. Could anybody come in to see you, Mr. Burns?
Oh, no. See me, you gotta have a ticket.
Oh, you're one of the biggest ones there, huh?
You bet I am. Of course, now and then I lay an egg.
I'd sure admire to see that. Mr. Byrne, what did you do that got you put in there?
I'll show you. Boom, 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 down in the garden where the red roses don't bother me. I love you so, love me like a flower, and don't you dare to holler. Lord, my red, the red rose, oh, the red rose, rag, oh, oh.
That's what did it. And well, it might.
Thanks, I'll sign that contract now. Give me your pen.
No, please. I'd rather you didn't handle anything sharp.
Huh?
Besides, it's your wife's play I'm backing. Now, let her sign it.
My wife's play, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and she's going to use the money to cure your insanity.
She told you, just wait till Gracie gets home. On a play after I told you not to. Telling Mr. Judson that I'm a lunatic. I'm warning you, Gracie. I've had all I can stand.
Well, I don't blame you, George. I'm just a no-good, trouble-making woman who does nothing but hinder you. You ought to get yourself a new wife. Huh?
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, yes, you should. Nothing but a millstone around your neck, and you ought to send me back to my mother. Huh?
No, I wouldn't do that.
But I deserve it. I'm just a silly, thoughtless woman without a brain in my head. Huh?
That you are.
Let's go back to the second one. You ought to send me back to my mother. Huh?
Well, come to think of it, it's not a bad idea.
Let's go back to the
first one. Oh, never mind. But you do deserve to be punished. Now, how do you think I should punish you?
Oh, I've got a terrible punishment. No new clothes for the rest of the year.
Okay, that's it.
I'll just force myself to look at you wearing your old clothes.
Look, Gracie, I let you off with no punishment, if you'll promise me that you'll never cook up another one of your wild schemes.
Yeah, I promise, but I don't want you to let me off so easy. I want to do something to make up for the trouble I've caused you.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I've got it. I'll get William Powell to star in my play and give you all the money.
Now, look, Gracie.
And I know just how to get him.
Look, Gracie.
I'll tell him that you're a lunatic.
Look, Gracie.
And it cost me lots of money to keep you in the booby soup. And then
he'll
fall for it, and then I'll get money.
Be sure to listen next week when Gracie will present William Powell in her drama of family life. I remember Mama's life with Father in tights.
George, I just called William Powell and told him he was going to be in my play.
What'd he say?
Oh, Gad!
Join us again Thursday when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Bill Goodwin, Meredith Wilson, and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Toby Reed. The George Burns and Gracie Allen Show is written by Keith Fowler and Paul Hemming. Until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's number one preferred brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop.
Good night, folks.